Sunday morning worship for August 14th, the 10th Sunday after Pentecost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not yourself from my plea for mercy. For it is not an enemy who taunts me, then I could bear it. It is not an adversary who deals insolently with me, then I could hide from him. But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. We used to take sweet counsel together. Within God's house we walked in the throng. But I call to the God, and the Lord will save me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We pray. Merciful Lord, cleanse and defend your church by the sacrifice of Christ. United with him in holy baptism, give us grace to receive with thanksgiving the fruits of his redeeming work and daily follow in his way. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for the 10th Sunday after Pentecost is from Jeremiah chapter 23. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster shall come upon you. For who among them has stood in the counsel of the Lord, to see and to hear his word, or who has paid attention to his word and listened? Behold, the storm of the Lord, wrath has gone forth, a whirling tempest, it will burst upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back, until he has executed and accomplished the intents of his heart. In the latter days you will understand it clearly. I did not send the prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have proclaimed my words to my people, and they would have turned them from their evil way, and from the evil of their deeds. Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said, and who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall there be lies in the heart of the people who prophesy lies, and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart, who think to make my people forget my name by their dreams that they tell one another, even as their fathers forgot my name for Baal? Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading is from the 11th and 12th chapters of the letter to the Hebrews. By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him up from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were afraid of the king's edict. By faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith the people crossed the Red Sea as if on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us they should not be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The gospel reading is from the 12th chapter of the gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus said, I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on, in one house there will be five divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, When you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once, A shower is coming, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, There will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. At first glance, today's gospel sounds like good news, at least for some of us. Jesus talks about casting fire on the earth and an end to false peace. Jesus talks about bringing judgment. And to some of us, this judgment that Jesus speaks of cannot happen soon enough. The world is sick with false peace. You can probably think of examples of this on your own. But personally, false peace is what I think of when I see what goes on in other church denominations, especially in other Lutheran denominations. They talk about racial harmony and LGBTQ rights and socialist economic policies, and they think that this sort of thing should be what the church is about. Meanwhile, they never talk about the truth that is revealed in the scriptures. And this is how the whole world works today. We are told that we all have to tolerate each other and get along. But the only way to do this is to suppress the truth. For many of us, this is very troubling. So when Jesus says that he's not here to bring peace, that's exactly what many of us want to hear. Because we've had enough of peace, at least this fake peace that cannot tolerate truth. The division Jesus warns about sounds just like good news. However, we need to be careful. Certainly, Jesus will bring an end to all this false peace that the world seems to love. Jesus is bringing a division based on the truth. Yet what he is talking about may not quite be what we had in mind, even for those of us who claim to love truth. What Jesus brings is the cross. The cross is not what we were looking for, but the cross is what we need. As we were saying, the world wants peace. When you think about it, that's kind of strange, considering how violent the world is. But maybe that's why we want peace so badly. The desire for peace is not a modern phenomenon. People have always wanted peace, even though the world has always been full of violence. There has always been crime and criminal violence, murders and beatings and all that sort of thing. And there has always been war. In fact, kings waged war on each other almost every year. We see that in the Old Testament, and that was true throughout the world. Of course, under the Romans, there was a certain amount of peace. Much of the ongoing warfare and crime subsided where the Romans ruled. But this peace only happened because the Romans killed everyone who made trouble. Peace from the edge of a sword. So when Jesus comes preaching in Galilee and Judea, the people expect him to promise peace, because that's what everyone wants, just like they want that today. They expect Jesus to come and stop all the fighting, all the warfare and hatred and crime. That's what the people expected from Jesus, because that's what everyone so desperately needed. In this way, of course, nothing has changed. People still expect Jesus to bring peace. Somewhere, Jesus says that we should love our neighbor as ourselves. Jesus does say that, but he is quoting the Old Testament, a fact that many people tend to overlook. But anyway, people seem to think that Jesus is all about love. The people of the world think that Jesus teaches us to love everybody just the way they are, regardless of their income, race, nationality, or gender identity, or even their religious beliefs. Some think that Jesus is just here to bring peace and love, which in a sense is true. Jesus does come to bring peace and love. Jesus does teach us to love our neighbor despite our differences. All that is found in the Bible. But then if Jesus is just about peace and love, what do we do with today's gospel? There Jesus says, "Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." Those are Jesus' words, not peace, but division. Not harmony, but separation. Not affirmation, but judgment. And as we were saying, some of us think that it is high time that we had some of that judgment. However, before we go marching with our pitchforks, we need to take note of something strange going on. The people who want peace can find reasons to think that Jesus is on their side. Yet at the same time, those of us who want truth, or judgment, even at the expense of peace, we also can find reasons to think Jesus is on our side, today's gospel being a great example. People sometimes talk about God as though he were two gods, the Old Testament judgmental God and the New Testament loving God. And the same thing can be applied to Jesus. Sometimes Jesus seems to be about love and acceptance, but other times he appears to stand for truth and judgment. But then whose side is Jesus really on? Are there in fact two Jesuses? It can all become very confusing if we forget about the cross. This tension between peace and judgment, justice and mercy, this can only be understood through the cross. Jesus himself can only be understood through the cross. It is the cross that is also the key to understanding today's gospel. Jesus begins today by talking about casting fire on the earth, and that sounds a lot like judgment to us. But he also talks about being baptized. And by the way he is speaking, we can see that the fire and the baptism that he speaks about are really the same thing. Fire means destruction and death. But the baptism Jesus mentions is something that will be done to him, not something he will do to others. So we see that the death and judgment he speaks of are not things he will do to his enemies, but these are things that will happen to Jesus himself, things that will be done to him. This is the key. How is it that Jesus can bring peace and division at the same time? He will do it by his death on the cross. We judge each other all the time. That's why we don't have peace. We judge each other as good people and as bad people. There are people we like and people we trust and people who are our friends. We have people who are part of our group, our family. And then there are people who are not part of our group, people we count as strangers and enemies. The world thinks we can have peace if we stop making these judgments about each other, but that's impossible. We go on making judgments about each other, and therefore we go on making enemies to fight with. Jesus does not take away judgment by his death on the cross, but now the cross changes the standard of judgment. Once we judged each other on our behavior, or on what we could do for each other, or if we liked each other, or if we were members of the same family. But now the judgment is different. Since Good Friday, only one thing matters. When you see Jesus dying on the cross, what do you see? What do you think about this? How you answer that question is how you are judged. When people see and consider the cross, they think of many things. Some are confused by it. Some think it has nothing to do with them. Some see it as a sign of weakness to be avoided. Some are disgusted that God would demand such a bloody sacrifice. Some think it is just a regrettable mistake. Some, who call themselves Christians or even Lutherans, would rather not think about it at all and would rather focus on the loving, happy Jesus rather than the suffering, dying Jesus, as though there were really two Jesuses. But some look upon the cross and see life. Seeing Jesus die a painful death, they see the death which they themselves deserve. Seeing Jesus crucified, they now rejoice at the life that they have through him. Since Good Friday, which was the real judgment day, since Good Friday, there are now only two kinds of people in the world. There are those who see the cross as the way to life, and there is everyone else. This is the fire that Jesus brings to the world. This is the division he has made among us. If it were up to us, we would judge the world differently, because there are some whom we love who have no faith in the cross. And there are some of those people out there who are our enemies who also happen to share our faith. But after Good Friday, faith in Christ crucified is all that matters. It is not our judgment, but rather God's judgment. It is the cross that will bring us peace. Not peace as we might choose, and not the judgment that we would choose either, but peace for all who have life by the cross. In the cross, Jesus brings judgment and peace. And in Jesus' name, amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Gracious God, our Father in the faith, our fathers in the faith, gave a good confession of your truth before the powers of this world. In the spirit of Jeremiah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and Moses, strengthen our hearts in days of division to confess in our words and lives the glory of your name. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, you settle the solitary in families in order to nurture their faith and train them in righteousness. Bless and strengthen parents to bring up their children to resist temptation and to endure all things for the sake of your name. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, grant healing to the sick, strength to the weak, endurance to bear up under trial, and patience to await his deliverance and peace at the last. Give your healing and blessing to those that we name today, to Ernie, Nina, John, Mary, Joe, Nick, Art, Monica, Don, Joey, Gordon, Tom, Cindy, Donna, Elizabeth, Dan, Barbara, and James, and also Shirley Rothman, Ellen Mueller, Mike Yates, Larry Nelson, Bob Daladonis, Kristen Sykes, Courtney Cooker, Elizabeth, Terry Sheldon, Erwin Schrader, and Shirley Fabozzi. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Hear us, most merciful Father, in these our humble requests, which we offer to you in the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of your holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.